We're back, Aaron.
We are. Three Truths and a Slide is back for another groundbreaking episode.
Groundbreaking. Ooh, is that a hint, I wonder?
I am one of your co-hosts, Aaron Schaefer, and I am here through the magic of saving files into Google Drive, Kristen Froberg. How's it going, Kristen?
It's great, and it is incredibly magical when we say it that way. And I love to let people into the process. I love to make them a part of it.
We talk about the TV show Sliders. It starred in the mid-90s, and it's about the constellation of hair follicles that is on Jerry O'Connell's head. And
also his ability to like tuck and roll and just like do all kinds of skills that like you wouldn't have maybe thought that he had, but like he has them. Like if you can think about the skill, like there's a 90% chance that he does have it.
There's no need for like a matrix like download of things. He just has it. He was born with
it. It's just all there.
A complete package. And so we go, I tell Kristen three truths and a lie about every episode. She tries to see through the layers of deception. But what really matters is the fun, is the journey. It's not about the destination of the truth. It's about the stepping stones of the lies. So
indeed. And I think I've gotten it right like thrice so far. So it's it's good that I'm not being graded. But Aaron is really good at this. I don't know. Maybe people who have seen the show already and are listening are like, oh, Kristen, come on. But when I tell you that, I have to think very hard about what he says because he's very, very good at it. So that makes it fun, though. That makes it fun.
So we are now on season 2, episode 8, titled
Flying Through
Post-Traumatic Slide Syndrome.
Wait, is it really?
Post-Traumatic Slide Syndrome. So Sliders takes on mental health is this episode.
Oh, well, okay. We love that. I was going to say that I'm excited that the episode title sounds like something that we would call our episode title because one of us had said that in the course of the episode. So it's all coming together. It's all converging.
It's all sliding into one.
It's all sliding into place. That's right. Absolutely right.
Kristen, are you ready for the next list of three truths and a slide?
Ah, so ready.
All right. So first truth, Rembrandt gets a record deal. Second truth, Wade gets a book deal. Third truth, Jerry is the secretary of sliding in the White House. And fourth truth, the professor gets a statue. All right, I'll go through that list again. Rembrandt gets a record deal. Wade gets a book deal. Jerry is a secretary of sliding, and the professor gets a statue.
Here's what I'm going to say, and I do sense you, the listeners, being like, Kristen, we don't need the process. We can actually, for me, I need to let you know the process. Okay, the 1, 2, and 4 are very of a piece, so it's very tempting to say that Jerry is the slide. Once again, I really want that to be true, so I'm going to say that the third thing is true. I'm actually going to go with the slide is that Rembrandt gets a record deal because not enough things are happening for Rembrandt that are good, like, for me. So for him to not get a record, I'm so sorry. Like, respect to the creators of Sliders, but I just am in general wanting more good things for Rembrandt. So wait, maybe Wade gets something that's not a book deal. I am so sorry, Slide Nation. Thank you for coming on this journey with me. We got to watch that Bachelor episode sometime soon. I think something happens for Wade and it's not a book deal. I think Wade getting a book deal is the slide.
Okay. Boom. So, all right. So, by the way, the nation's here for the journey. So, you're saying that the lie is Wade gets a book deal.
Because I got to pick something. All of them sound like things that happen in the episode because you're very good at the thing. So, but yeah, I'm going with the Wade one for being the slide this week.
All right, well, let's jump into the vortex and see if Wade...
And find out how I'm wrong.
To see if Wade makes it into your local Amazon store.
Wow, what a moment.
Do I feel traumatized after that?
I mean, I feel a lot of things after that. I don't know if I'd say traumatized.
Well, I guess then post-traumatic. We are after the trauma.
That's right.
All right, let's jump right into the lies.
Like they jumped right into those stunt doubles, jumping right into frame each and every week. Salute them.
Does Rembrandt get a record deal?
Okay, he like already had one? So
no, he weirdly got like he got one because he was like wheeling and dealing, and then he was like, "Oh, MTV Unplugged wants me," before he even made his record.
Trust that I made a note of that, but yeah,
I didn't mean to tip that.
No,
steal
that's
your thunder.
Oh gosh, no. But I was like, did he have it already? Did he get it back? So I guess yes, he did.
What about Wade's book deal?
Among other things.
And is Jerry the secretary of sliding in the White House cabinet?
Unfortunately, he is not.
Talk about a miss. Secretary of sliding. That would have been so rad. And finally, the professor's statue.
Again, wow, what a moment. Yeah.
There is cinema and there is art. And sometimes there is a Venn diagram in between the two.
I need a word for television that's like film or cinema. And
silver screen.
It's prestige television is what it is.
Prestige. We are in the golden era.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so this episode, the only recap you need to know is that it's Slider's take on mental health. That is, here's the weird thing about the episode. For the first 15 minutes, it doesn't feel like there's much of a conflict. It's where is the plot in this? This is just like a bag of things that happen.
And also, the framing of the him seeing a therapist didn't even need to be happening for the episode. So this is the second episode in a row where I've been like, we absolutely didn't need the framing, but fun episode.
So Rembrandt's talking to a therapist.
Giving some budget Willem Dafoe energy, I would say. Affordable Willem Dafoe, a little bit.
Affordable Dafoe. Oh, man.
Great value.
So this world they're in, it's not Earth Prime, but it's like Earth Prime 1.000009.
Yeah.
It's very adjacent.
It's enough that two of them absolutely believed it was.
Yeah, so in this world, just like add in some different sports games and a dash of like an evil Professor Doppelganger, and you got this episode.
And a very eye-catching large bridge that somehow none of them noticed was painted blue. I mean, they did kind of try to address it. She's like, how many times did I just not hear it when it was said on the radio? And I was like, no, fair, but how have you not seen it? I've been to San Francisco. I love San Francisco. I know you're not always staring at the Golden Gate Bridge, but how would you not? There's art. Here's the thing about San Francisco. There is art of San Francisco landmarks all over San Francisco.
I know.
How
Did
are
they
you not
see a postcard?
Exactly. But whatever.
All right. So again, this episode, lots of sliding off screen because we're still in the shadow of the dinosaurs.
And we always will be.
And this episode starts off with one of my favorite cliches of the show.
Yeah.
Everything is hinging on this moment. They still don't say hinging on this moment. It bothers
Will
me.
They? I, Will they?
I don't know if we'll have that cinema moment. Silver screen. And then maybe my favorite line in this whole episode, in this whole show so far.
I'm ready.
So the mom comes out. Did you write down what she says when she first sees Jerry?
I didn't. No.
She said, so I legitimately paused it. I don't know how long I paused it. It felt like 5 minutes. Realistically, it was probably 30 seconds. But I could not stop laughing. And I was like, this moment was so glorious. I can't move on until I've absorbed this. The mom says, I knew you'd slide on a weekend. The first words that she says to Jerry. In a year and a half, I knew you'd slide on a weekend.
I completely missed that. I completely missed that.
I knew you'd slide on a weekend.
Why would she?
That kills me.
In my mind, I'm like, no, she comes out. She seems emotional. I don't know.
I knew. But
this
it's
is one
that,
to think about.
It's during that scene where she's like on the precipice of embracing him. I knew you'd slide on a weekend.
I
have tears in my eyes. It is like it still cracks me up. Oh man.
I feel disappointment that I not only that it passed me by. I mean, there's other things happening, but
well, this episode, there's a lot to absorb in this episode.
There's a lot.
I appreciate that. And plus, we're also in the shadow of the gate. Like, mm-hmm. The hinging moment just happened. Like, this is like on top. This is compounding moments in the intro. So I was like, where are they going to go from here? And so they immediately pop the champagne and they're telling their mom about the world.
Well, and just also, like, for me, like, there was less Jerry in the last episode. Less of his majestic swoop. Like, I was just really happy to see him again, really focused on him. So, yeah, but they're back. They're having wine. They're telling everyone how it is, seemingly just delighted to be reunited with their families.
And the professor convinces the group that they got to stay quiet about this.
Sus.
Yes.
Which, even, okay, on my second watch, I was still like, I don't know, man. Okay, does this come up ever again?
What? Does what come up ever again?
The witch professor.
You know, it might. It might be in the ether, like, with the pallbearer. Like, we got to have a name, like, in the vortex somewhere. We got to come up with a term for that. But
because honestly,
I think it does come up, but it's not like a major part of like any.
So we just go ahead and assume that it's the right one.
Or no, I think that the episode. I think that the show like has the ambiguity, which professor, and then it's like kind of a shrug. Okay.
Okay. So it's a fun show. I generally don't have a lot of feelings about it. I was like, and I don't think I'm in a position to speak to what's like consistent with the character. I was like, I actually would, man, if that's really him doing this to them, doing this to Jerry after that little speech he just gave in the last episode, never forget, fireside, both of them just waxing poetic about Jerry. Well, and very hostile towards him, I would say. I'm like, if that's really the professor, what a heel turn, man. You hate to see it. It's not what you want. But, I mean, that's interesting to know. It leaves it fairly ambiguous, but.
Yeah, and, like, it does feel like a bit of a miss because, you know, and the thing is, I could be just blacking out, like, an entire episode that's about it or something. I really can't remember. But it's not a major arc, but it could have been. Like, how great would it be for a show to be like, oh, well, we technically switched out the main guy with an evil doppelganger who's been backstabbing us for the past 5 episodes.
Right. It was really funny the time they did that on Alias with a completely different actor. Like, Joel Grey does not look like Ron Rivkin, but they addressed it. They were like, it looks like him, but it doesn't look like him. Like, I don't know. I just thinking about Alias, but I was trying to think of shows where they had that evil doppelganger plot line, and Alias had some weird cloning stuff till the end at the end there. Yeah, it just, what a heel turn from the professor. Bad way to treat your friend, my guy, if that is actually your friend. Perhaps it is not. Who is to say?
Yeah, but I tell you, one way that is not an evil doppelganger is another Jerry and Slade kiss.
Yeah.
Who saw that coming?
Honestly, she was pretty chill about it. And that, like, went off to, like, kind of take care of her own business. I mean, what a journey for Wade here. I don't know if y'all knew that I had a
journey.
A
journey between kisses.
No, but, like, her journey of being really into Jerry the whole time. She said, I don't know if any of you knew that I had a crush on this man.
This guy,
bestie,
that I've been
literally
making out
all
with.
Of us did. Also, he towel dried your hair that one time. I haven't forgotten, and I won't be forgetting. But you would have thought that little parting moment much more momentous. I can't pronounce that word.
Momentous.
Momentous.
Or momentous. You know what? I'm right there with you.
I didn't.
We can't be bothered like forming words while thinking about the hair swoop.
It's me. I'm the poorly educated. Anyway, so yeah, they part ways.
It's all very chill.
It is. And then the professor talks to his Sandra Bernhardt adjacent stunt double. And she gives him the Sandra Bernhardt like raised eyebrow situation. And then everyone after that immediately talks.
Everyone.
Rembrandt spills the beans to his manager. Emilia Fields offers.
Mm-hmm.
The professor takes credit on live TV. And then
which is a bad behavior. It's not great. But
no.
Wade doing as she absolutely should, I firmly believe.
the diary on Newsweek's periodical. And however, through all this, Jerry senses a disturbance in the slide.
Also, he's like, we agreed to this. And all of you immediately turned around and like, yep, them's the breaks. Poor Jerry.
You know what? I would like to think I was honorable like Jerry. I would sit on it immediately. How do you think you would react if you returned to what you thought was Earth Prime?
I mean, have I kept a deeply inconsistent journal or no? But it depends on who knows what and when did they know it. Because the voiceovers were supposed to be her journal, right?
Yeah.
Although, no. Her journal could be happening off screen. Apparently, she has been updating it the whole time.
Maybe her journal is like Hemingway's like 6-word novels.
Ooh.
Maybe her journal is like that.
No, but it comes up later, so we know that there's enough to... We know she was writing about the professor at length, apparently. No, but I mean, if some interesting thing happened to me and people were offering me money for it, yeah, I'd probably pull a Wade scenario, Wade behaviors. Looking like an absolute boss when Jerry's initially trying to get her attention,
Let's jump right to that. So,
short skirt, long jacket, touring the facility and picking up slack. This is the Wade I like to see in the world.
So her assistant is like totally blowing off Jerry. She's like, what, Captain Herswoop? Who are you? Like, get out of my face.
Captain Herswoop.
And then Slade comes in. And by the way, what turn of the century writer wrote Slade's dialogue for this episode? Lines like, just because some Hollywood starlet. Like, this is not the Slade we know. This is not anybody we know.
No. I wouldn't say that much of the dialogue of the episode was based in how people...
human dialogue.
I was just really focused on how she had a glow up and she was taking care of business and prospering, as I love to see her doing.
And then Jerry was like, no, you don't understand. I bullied a kid. We're in the wrong world.
No, and this is his defense. Like,
and then Jerry's able to get into the professor's office because he asked.
And he said, because you're not that important yet, which that was my, I had to take a moment. That was a delight to me. He was like, I said I was from, it's his delivery of, I said I was from the school paper. Like, it's such a burn. It's really, really good. This is that part, right?
He's like, yeah.
Like, you're not that important yet. I said I was from the school paper. Get him. As they say on Drag Race, get her, Jade.
And then we... Throughout this episode, we keep cutting back to the shrink, who might be borderline MVP of the episode because he just keeps uttering the line, well, how did you feel about that?
It's so, like, textbook. This is how you would write a therapist in a movie, but... and it's not clarified what world they're on, but... They were going to go slide, and he's like, hold on, got to go to one more therapy. Like, and then the guy convinces him not to leave. Like, has Rembrandt forgotten how sliding works? It doesn't matter. It's fine. It was enjoyable. But.
And then the professor has a press conference that he convinces the heroes to coalesce for, and he defends taking credit for himself.
Yeah.
Turns into a very solid heel in this episode.
Yeah.
And then the unveiling of the cinema statue.
Beautiful.
Oh, like that statue might be the MVP of the episode.
I think it is. I would say that the statue is the MVP.
Or the Azure Gate Bridge.
Oh, also, I did perceive that Rembrandt has a really good jacket in the opening. probably not eligible for MVP, but he had a very good jacket. I love to just uplift and support really good outerwear choices for the group. The statue was really something. I hope it's in someone's like living space right now.
Well, I hope so. By the way, the best part about the reveal of the Azure Gate Bridge
is the...
Are we 3/4 of the way through the episode during the reveal?
Yeah. How long have they been back on this in this reality? And it just, it the music, it's so funny. It's so funny.
And the smallest window. The tiniest window. It's like a prison cell window. That's how big it is. And again, how did they not know this? How do you not see? Because like San Francisco is hilly. And because it's hilly, there's a lot of area where you can see the bridge, right?
Yes. I mean, I think so. But it just absolutely delighted me. My thing is more, okay, because as I said, I like it. I've been there. I don't know. It's been like probably a decade though, at least. So I don't have a clear memory in my mind of where you have to be in order to see the bridge. But there is cable car and bridge art everywhere on all the souvenirs and all the things. Although Wade is people now. She's not surrounded by that plebeian stuff.
She sees what she wants to see.
It's plebeian of me to not know how to pronounce plebeian. But yeah, I mean, but they did kind of address it. She's like, no, I heard the guy talking about it and just thought nothing of it. But it's funny because they could have picked anything to make that be like the moment that hits home for her. But it's that. It's kind of like the reveal in It's a Wonderful Life when, oh no, Donna Reed is a librarian. Like, neither of these things is traumatic, but like the music is telling me that it's very upsetting.
And could we just like take a beat for a moment on the name, the Azure Gate Bridge?
What?
Like Azure?
Well, and because why wouldn't it still be the Golden Gate? You could still call it the Golden Gate Bridge because it's, and I actually do not know what color it was painted initially.
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
Like, I don't know if it's that it faded to what it is now from something, but.
Or if it's a reference to like the 49ers or something.
Or, I mean, I always assumed it's California's Golden State. That's why they call it. California is still the Golden State if the bridge is blue, but so just an
idea. Maybe it's the blue state.
I love it. I support it. I affirm it.
And then the professor's like, I knew all along that bridge was blue.
Yeah, because of course.
And so Rembrandt, so here's where Rembrandt gets his recording contract and an offer for MTV Unplugged.
Just like Tony Bennett. Which made me laugh, but hey, he's had Lady Gaga's Tony Bennett era. Very enjoyable. So I don't know that he was necessarily on MTV Unplugged, but I know that Tony Bennett had a bit of a comeback moment. I mean, he never went out of style, but...
So
Chris, just MTV Unplugged with Tony Bennett.
So then they go to the museum and they try to steal the timer.
They do.
That's under case. And they basically just, smash glass. So it's this glass that can be easily smashed with a hand
or
something.
Great ease, absolutely.
And it instantly shatters in a million pieces. Mm-hmm. No one gets cut.
No. Nope.
They grab the timer. They find out it's a fake. Mm-hmm. And then they get arrested. And then I didn't write in my notes. How do they get out of that?
Jerry told them that he would like to leave.
And then the opposite experience where the shrink leaves Rembrandt's in the room to get on a phone to say that Rembrandt needs to be in a straitjacket immediately because he's talking about vortexes and parallel Earths.
When I'm wondering, Did the straitjacket still have a prominent place in mental health at this time? Who can say? But it's part of a trope that they've chosen to use for the episode. But it's Chekhov's straitjacket, Aaron. And we'll talk about it. We'll get to it.
What a great reference.
But it is. Chekhov. Except that, I don't know. Do they do it early enough to call it the straitjacket mentioned in the first act? Is it early enough to be considered first act?
You can't unfurl a straitjacket without it being filled. So our hero, the rest of our heroes break into the professor's office. And again, Did you catch like any weird things that Slade said?
No, she just.
She's like, oh, I didn't know the professor wore bifocals. I'm like, what? Again, like who? What old timey writer on a typewriter is hammering this stuff out?
No, did we go past though the part where they talked about like we all cry or nobody cries?
Oh, I did pass that. Yeah, okay. Why don't you unpack that?
Oh, it was just, so he Rembrandt had issues with his record label because this was the thing that helped Rembrandt realize that they are on a parallel earth because he's the only one who's allowed to cry during the song. He's the crying man. And the people will absolutely riot if he does not cry. But his backup singers are giving him trouble. We want to cry, too. And he thought they were just being difficult. But then, it actually, on that world, everyone cries.
So when I was watching the episode, I didn't realize that was a plot point. I just thought that was a conversation. And then afterwards, he's like, yeah, I know we're not on this earth. And he explains why.
Oh.
I was like... Oh, I completely missed that. Oh,
maybe
as
I
it
got
happening.
It wrong.
No, you're right. Like that. So it's with his like he has to explicitly mention it afterwards
because it is like in his contract or something.
Yeah, because like when they're talking, like it's like the same heavy music of like the Azure Gate Bridge, and I was like, why am I hearing this music right now? What happened? They want to cry. Like, who cares?
It's been a really great season for them playing music that I don't understand what the goal was here, but I support. I support and uplift. I don't get it, but I like it. It's fun.
We don't get it. We don't get Mark Mothersbaugh, but we do somehow
well, it's
still
not Mark,
support.
Yeah. It's chaotic. I love it. I actually stopped taking notes there because my second watch is when I generally take the notes. And I was like, I'm just prepared to giggle with the rest of it. Love it. It's good stuff.
So we get the first double evil professor face off. The real one, maybe, is chained up in the basement, and the other one comes down, and there involves a knockout punch and a stunt double.
Mm-hmm. It's not like the time that I found out on air that Cleveland Derricks has a twin brother. That's not what happened. No.
There's no confusion about the graphics.
But so they find a man tied up in the basement that says, I'm your professor, this... man who somewhat wisely chose not to slide with y'all is he and his goons, which I guess is him and his secretary. I don't know.
Him and Sandra Bernhardt adjacent.
Yeah, they tied him up and he's been running around out here doing all this stuff. And then like the key is somewhere. Is it a key or is it the real slider or
the real timer?
The real timer. I was like, was it locked up somewhere and they had to go get it?
Well, apparently it was like in a drawer 2 feet from him.
Exactly. So then another Arturo comes down and is like, no, because I broke free today and tied him up. And
I didn't contact you because it didn't feel right.
Because of reasons. Yeah. So... Well, and then, like, he's telling details about himself. Like, who else, how would I know that? Wait, how did he say, how would I know? If it's the same, if it's almost the same Earth, then he would have had much the same personal history. But apparently Wade, everyone knows that Wade, like, had the deal with his ex-wife and stuff. Because Wade, blogged. Wade journaled extensively about the... professor's most meaningful relationship. So they basically just can't and don't figure out which one is the real professor.
Yeah, well, so there's a knockout punch and then they say bye to Jerry's mom and then there's another face off as a vortex is opened.
Right.
And so they punch it out. Nobody even tries to figure in both scenarios, they don't really try to figure out who the right professor is. It doesn't feel like it would be hard. After a year and a half of all the moments and all the memories, Slade couldn't have like written all of those down.
So, sorry, I didn't do a sliding made a difference for this one, but I did. I mean, we do like to talk about how everything that came after Sliders is inspired by Sliders. Mm-hmm. Film Jordan Peele's Us, let's just say, no, spoilers. I'm going to do a spoiler for the film Us, Jordan Peele, 2019. I really like that movie, but are you going to watch it?
Probably. I haven't seen it.
Oh, that I will just say that dual versions of people and which is the right one is crucial. We can absolutely cut this out. I do like the film. I like it. But there's absolutely no reason for me to talk about it on the pod other than the Arturo plot made me think of it mildly a little bit. Has Jordan Peele watched Sliders? I will Google this.
You know, I would be surprised if he hasn't seen an episode.
It feels
of
like a lot of men of a certain age just have seen it.
Yeah, especially so I'm 40 and like guys that are like within 10 years older than I am. It feels like Sliders is a thing. Like yeah. That's like that was like the generation that was this, you know, it's a very Gen X show.
Would you call it Generation Slide?
Oh, Gen S. We need to rebrand Gen X to Gen S.
Absolutely.
I'm down for it. In fact, you know what? There doesn't even need to be an age group. Anyone who likes Sliders, you are part of Gen S.
Slide Nation, Slide Hive, Gen S. I actually, and Gen S will be the one to really, really take off. I feel it. But so, yeah, they go through with, is it the right professor? Who can say? But yeah.
So the last shot of the app is the Arturo who's left behind. He looks up and he goes, oh, no. What are your thoughts? Which Arturo is that?
I mean, the oh, no would lead us to believe that it's the real professor that we know. But if they never address it again.
I don't know. Like, I'm still 50-50 on it. Like,
maybe that. Because I wonder if there's some fan theories on the internet that I could look up, although without spoiling myself.
Yeah, that's the problem with fan theories.
That's why I have not looked up very many things. I don't want to spoil myself.
By the way, Kristen, buckle up because we're about to get on a wild ride of slides.
Well, that's a good commercial for it.
Yeah. I don't know if it's in one or two episodes after the one we just watched, but we're about. Yeah, we're about to hit the first episode of a major arc of the show. We're on the precipice.
I love an arc. Great.
And I hope it's the next one. It might be the one after.
I'll know that it's coming soon.
It's coming to a pod near you.
Well, but so is that how we end the episode, or does it end with the doctor's office? Because
Well,
sorry. I mean, there's two endings. There's the one that made sense, and then the kind of unnecessary.
No, sorry, it couldn't. Wait.
Yeah, because the world where they slide is not really the one where.
Hold on. So. How did that happen?
Yeah, because they're in some like.
Because they slide from the office. That's how it ends.
Yeah,
but
they're
why,
in some
why would
additional
he say,
world.
Oh, no. You know, I'm really confused.
I mean.
Clearly, I.
It's a lot like Inception.
Did
like,
they just
the
drive off
at the
and
end?
He
like,
says,
we don't
oh,
know.
No? I thought they slid away. Shoot. Why am I drawing a blank on this? I have a blind spot.
Because it's hot. Because we've been going pretty hard on this recapping.
You know what? We will just leave that ambiguity. Because who knows what Arturo, who knows what ending. But the very last, Kristen, you're right. The very last shot in the show is them in the office. They, Jerry again is like, no, I really needed to get in here to see Rembrandt. They walk into the office.
They say we're like family, which once again, Generation S. If an employer ever says we're like family here to you, they're either about to murder you or never like give you sick leave, one or the other.
Yeah. You will be underpaid.
Yeah. Yeah. But so... They just kind of no that's how they leave every situation. Jerry just says, I gotta go now. We gotta go. It's not negotiable. They go up to get him, and again, once again, what? Like, good for Rembrandt for taking care of his mental health. That I gotta hit one more therapy on my way out of town, but it's okay.
And it might be as simple as I need to talk to someone else about all this who's not you people. It might even be
absolutely.
That simple. And I'm here to support that.
So Rembrandt. He's not going to be doing ongoing work with the therapist, but he's just really, he's got a lot of emotions about it. Gotta,
Who else can he talk to?
It's not made fun of that Rembrandt is in therapy the way that therapy was made of and fun of in the other episode. But he's just talking about how beautiful it was. The implication is that he's completely lost his mind. And there we go. That's the episode.
Once you've seen the neon colonoscopy, you can't go back. That is a one-way trip.
The best neon colonoscopy was when there was an Allosaurus in it. But but I persevere. Maybe there will be a one as beautiful as that again someday.
That is quite the convergence.
Yeah.
All right, so we've exhausted my notes.
Yeah, that's it.
Is there anything else that you wanted to unpack?
No, only that I like didn't know how many episodes were in the season, and I wondered if we were maybe getting close to the end of the season. And I was like, ooh, is this where the professor leaves the show? Because I think he does at some point, but I don't know when that is.
So I think that it's either 10 or 15 episodes this season, and we're on episode 8.
Because I was like, initially, I was like, ooh, if this is really how he's acting with Jerry, maybe this is this is his character exiting the show arc. But
yeah,
then it was just some tomfoolery, and that's okay, too. Had a great time.
Yeah, there's 13 episodes on this season. Mm. I did not expect that.
Lucky 13.
And, the episode that I'm thinking of is a while out.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
We got, here. Let's see if I can give, like, a very mini preview of the upcoming episode. I cannot. That episode is too complicated for me to try to unpack.
That's okay.
There is a lot that happens. Just be prepared for a fire hose. That's all I can say.
Ooh.
There is a lot. We are on, and you know what else is a lot? Not our social media presence, but it is enough. We are on Instagram.
But it's out there. It's out there.
Twitter, Facebook. I have an idea for a Twitter post, believe it or not.
I believe it. I would love, I'm excited.
On an internet channel coming near you.
I mean, just real talk. It's if I log on and find that people want to engage, we'll be delighted to engage with y'all. It's also okay if you just want to vibe. This podcast is an absolutely delightful escape for me, at least from the strains of the world. Many times social media is not that. So I admit to being very reluctant to just log on in general. Me as a person Instagram, we go weeks without checking that thing. So I'm gonna really try for you this time, Generation S. But
I would like to say that we promote mental health by not doing very much social media posts.
Yeah, exactly.
But we'll round up and we'll say that it's for your health and our health that we don't post a lot.
Yeah.
And Generation S, you're welcome. So Kristen, when can we look forward to listening to another episode of Three Truths and a Slide?
We will catch our vast quantity of listeners. Got to come up with some more puns and jokes and ways to say this, but we're going to catch them on the flip slide.